Hello and welcome to the After Dinner Podcast. My name is Jay Swords. This is the podcast extension for ROI Show 551. Our guest today is Teak Root, freelance journalist, and we're going to be talking about his article, What Happens When a School Bans Smartphones. Our history buff today is Rick Sweet. So Rick, start us off.
Okay, Jay. Teak, in the broadcast version, we asked you point blank what happens when the school bans smartphones, and you mentioned that you didn't run across any major effort to do that. What did you see as successful strategies where schools made adjustments for the ubiquitousness of cell phones in their midst?
Yeah, so the story that I was researching was specifically on this use of dumb phones as sort of a middle ground between, you know, total bans and total allowance. So that was where most of my research was focused. I didn't look too hard at what other models were successful. And, you know, I hesitate to say that what happened at this boarding school was successful with one, you know, case study of sorts. But it seemed to me like it was actually working remarkably well as a potential solution. So, you know, it was great to look into that and see that it was having at least some positive effect.
I'm interested. You included a conversation with the company that provided the light phones, dumb phones, whatever you want to call them, to this school. And I'm just going to read the quote because I thought it was interesting. I also loved the term. He called it the non-alcoholic beer of cell phones, which I just love as a concept. but the quote is, and I'd like your comment to that, is, we're actually pretty into tech. We built a phone. We're just not into extractive tech that manipulates your emotional state. So many people got a smartphone and didn't intend to wake up and check their email before they brushed their teeth, but that's what started to happen. And man, is that true.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I am guilty of that this morning. I think I did check my email before I brushed my teeth. And I think that, there's a long history of limiting potentially addictive products and their exposure to children, right? And so I think that it would, it's not surprising to me that there is now a attempt to sort of limit or regulate or somehow police the access that children have to cell phones as well.
Okay, Rick.
Yeah, my wife was a 30-year English teacher, also in high school, and I know that the school attempted early on to have cell phones put away, you know, back pockets, purses, satchels, wherever, but not in the teacher's sight, and that didn't work. And my wife just basically ended up teaching those students who wanted to learn, and quite frankly, ignored as best she could those that were constantly on their phone. Did you run across anything like that in your research?
I think there were, teachers who told me that was something they, you know, were definitely fighting with, and I think that, you know, if you are a teacher in a school that allows cell phones, that's probably going to be the reality. I mean, there's a lot of other ways kids can distract themselves and not want to learn as well. But yeah, I can imagine that, you know, fighting this must be exhausting for teachers too.
Teak, I'm interested, and you may not be able to answer that, so answer my question, because it wasn't part of what you were doing. But I just thought of, you know, Buxton seems to me like a fairly well-to-do place, you know, with a fairly affluent student body. I wonder if in any of the research that you did, if you looked at schools who were not well-to-do, who were coming out of, you know, more economically challenged areas, and how cell phones were affecting those, because it certainly seems to me that, in a school where cell phones aren't ubiquitous, the people who have them would have all sorts of advantages over the folks who don't.
Yeah, no, I didn't explicitly end up doing that, but I did, connect with a few teachers, who mentioned, similar issues. There is definitely a whole nother component to this in lower income schools where banning cell phones or restricting cell phones can actually level the playing field in some ways between, income levels. I do think in this instance of Buxton, where income levels probably play the most role, is in the ability to have or acquire a dumb phone for your kid, right? So in this case, the light phone, the company gave them to the school as a test. But I think this year it was expanded where kids didn't have to have necessarily a light phone, but they could have any dumb phone they wanted. But at that point, that puts an economic burden on the family to provide that phone. And so I asked one of the parents who is a public school teacher how this would translate, to a non-private school. And they basically said that, it would be a lot of money for either the school to chip in or for parents to lay out. And they would rather see that money go towards, art supplies or many of the, whatever other need a school might have.
Rick.
Yeah, Teek, you mentioned in the broadcast portion the socialization aspect of the cell phone interaction between students, and you've got since we're beating up on Buxton, you've got a quote from one of the students that something to the effect that people are a lot more social, and that seems to be counterintuitive to what the sociologists and psychologists have said about the interaction of human children in schools, where they don't make eye contact. They're making eye contact with their phone as they're texting or messaging or reading emails. Are we looking at just a different model of socialization for, let's call them modern kids, that runs counter to what us old folks thought was the proper socialization process?
Well, I think what that student meant was that there is more traditional old school socialization since they moved to dumb phones. And so I guess, yes, of course, socialization, depends on the definition. Do you count interacting on a cell phone as socialization, et cetera? But I think what this student was getting at is that there was actually more in person and more old school socializing, as they switched to dumb phones, which, again, doesn't surprise me at all.
So to kind of piggyback on that, I'm going to give an example. There was a school in north central Iowa who right at the beginning of sort of the smartphone era was building a quote-unquote state-of-the-art middle school. And they put... And don't ask me what the technical term would be or whatever, but anyway, they put something into the building which created dead zones for cell phone usage, except in the counselor's office and the main office where the principals and assistant principals were, so forth and so on. And what they found, because I knew a teacher who'd transferred into that district, echoed one of the quotes that you have in your article, that students were having more interactions with teachers. They were hanging out after class to talk to the teacher about what was going on in class, or they were having more of those kind of conversations amongst themselves about what was going on in class. And they were amazed at how much more just engaged in the material they were when that cell phone, that ability, that need to grab my cell phone, because they had been using the put it in a hanging shoe thing and whatever. And what they found was when the bell rang, kids blitzed that. so that they could grab their phone and see what they had missed for the last 45 minutes. and that took that away. Just your comment on that, does that sound, you know, like something that may be replicated at some level in other places, even if they hadn't gone quite that extreme?
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely what I've heard, is that, you know, to varying levels, each of these sort of restrictions on cell phones can create more of that sort of time where you actually just hang out, interact, ask questions, you know, see how people are doing. That's definitely what I heard, you know, at Buxton as well. You know, I think one of my initial reactions to jamming would be to wonder what the safety implications are of that in an emergency or a school shooting, of course. But, you know, generally, I think, you know, I totally get the point about, you know, the interactions that this creates. And you know, I think I've seen various versions of the pouches as well, where they're, you know, on the back of teachers' door, in which case, yeah, you get kids sprinting. But they also, there are schools that put them in pouches at the entrance of the school and don't get them back to when you leave, sure. Which might have the similar effect of jamming, where, you know, people aren't sprinting for them at, you know, every end of every class, maybe just the end of the day.
Sure. Rick, last question goes to you.
Well, I guess, Deke, with your research, did you, in your own mind, after all your work, come up with a conclusion whether smartphones are good or bad in schools?
Yeah, I mean, I think there isn't a good or bad per se. You know, I would personally, if I were a teacher, probably want some sort of restriction on phones, and probably something that I didn't have to police. You know, maybe the entranceway. I think dumb phones is a really fascinating idea. I mean, it gives students the ability to start to learn about these devices without, you know, becoming immediately, you know, addicted to them. So I thought that was an interesting option as well. And I just really like to see that schools are trying different things, experimenting, and I hope these schools are connecting with one another to share what they learned too.
All right. We would like to thank our guest for this 551st show, Teek Root, freelance journalist. We've been talking about his article, What Happens When a School Bans Smartphones. Our history buff today was Rick Sweet. ROI can be found at 9:30 p.m. Friday nights on KALA Radio or on the web at tunein.com. If you're looking for older programs, you'll find them at soundcloud.com. Just put KALA Radio in the search, all one word, click on the first icon, and scroll down to find over a decade of ROI shows. You can also find ROI on all of your streaming favorite streaming platforms. ROI is recorded at Station KALA, St. Ambrose University.